Divorce would never happen if married couples understood what was happening when they got married. It's true. Because when you understand what a marriage represents, you understand the magnitude of it. Most pastors do not understand what a marriage represents. During the actual wedding ceremony, when the couple is standing before the pastor, and the pastor looks at the groom and says, "Guido, do you take Susie to be your wife, and do you promise to," and so forth, and Guido says, "Si." he says, "I do." And then the pastor says, "Well, would you please turn to Susie and repeat after me?" And then he looks at Susie and says, "Susie, do you take Guido to be your husband, and do you promise," etc. And she says, "Yes, yes." And he says, "Then would you please turn to Guido and repeat after me?" And so she turns, and what that represents is this. This is the symbolism. The pastor is standing in proxy for God Himself. And God is looking at the groom, and He is saying, "I am the creator of the universe. And boy, you better be careful how you answer this question. Do you promise me that you're going to take her and meet her needs according to what I have outlined in Scripture in Ephesians 5 and other places?" And the moment that he says, yes, what that represents in the natural is him standing in heaven before the throne of God and telling God, "This is what I am going to do for this woman right here. And for the rest of my life, this is what I will be for her." And then God says, "Okay, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn and I want you to face her and tell her what you have just promised Almighty God." And so he turns and he says, "Susie, I have just gone before the throne of God. And this is what I have promised Him. Now let me tell you what I have promised Him concerning you. I told Him that I will love you. I will never cheat on you. I will supply for this home. I will not be an infidel, but I will work. And I will have income. And I will see to it that you and the children are fed. And I will..." You understand what I'm saying? And then the same thing is repeated. God looks at her and says, "You're standing here at my throne. Now I'm going to ask you something. Do you promise to be the Ephesians 5 wife to him? He has already promised to be the Ephesians 5 husband to you. Do you promise to be the Ephesians 5 wife to him?" And she says, "Yes." And then you turn to him and you tell him what you just promised God as you stood here at my altar. And most people don't understand that. They think it's just something you can do so you can legalize your sin. Gary will explain that to you later. Maybe not in a sermon. And people don't understand that. Because if you understood that you were making a promise to God before you turned and repeated that promise to the person you were marrying, I would think that you'd be a little hesitant, you know, to maybe dally around with the cashier or to start philandering around. Because the moment you do that is the moment that you have basically gone before the throne of God and said, "Yeah, God, I know what I just promised you, but you know what? Forget it. I'm breaking my promise to you. Deal with it." And then you go off and do what you want. That's what happens when you break those marriage vows, either through adultery or abandoning the children or not working and being the husband you're supposed to and so on and so forth, and same thing reciprocal for the wife. That's what that means. Well, the Bible says that children are a heritage of the Lord. That means when a husband and wife unite to bring a child into this world, the goal for that child is to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And to raise that child in a way to where that child will understand who God is, who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is. That's what it means in Proverbs 22, verse 6, where it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's not a promise that we as parents have the ability to reach inside a child and control their spirit and their will and make them get born again. But what it means is this. When you train up a child in the way that that child should go, what you are doing is you are taking the Word of God and you're sowing the Word of God into their life, not your rules and dictates. But all of your rules and dictates to the home should have a scriptural foundation. Therefore, it's not a matter of because daddy said or because mommy said. It's because we are to honor God with every aspect of our lives. This is why we do it this way in our home. Now, you can't control the will of the child, but you're to point them in the direction of their Lord and Savior. And they come to the place of making their own decisions. We understand that. But God is saying, look, if you do your part and you do it correctly, that child will never be able to reach on the inside of them and uproot that seed that was sown. It's going to be there. It's going to be there. The problem is too many parents want to be the God to their child. I will train you up the way I want you to go. And God says, I'm sorry, but I have said in my word that children are a heritage of the Lord. What that literally means is every child born into this world is supposed to end up becoming a child of God and be His heritage. Your children are not your heritage. They're the heritage of God. And we have a responsibility in the home to train them so that when they come to church, even as children, they fulfill a child's level role of edifying and admonishing each other in the Lord. But too many parents expect the church to fulfill the parental responsibility of raising the children. We live in a warped church world, let alone a society. Our responsibility before God as parents is to be Ephesians 5 to each other to represent the kind of relationship that's supposed to take place in the home and relative to our children and their relationship that we want them to have with Jesus Christ. The children are supposed to see mom and dad put God first place in everything. 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 And when the parents don't do that, then why should there be complaining on the part of the parents because Johnny's acting up or you know, Susie won't listen? Well, why should they? Why should they? And granted, you know, you can do the best job that you can, but you still might end up with a prodigal son or prodigal daughter. I mean, that can happen. They have their own will. I mean, think about it. I don't think God did a bad job raising Adam. But he still made a really bad choice, did he not? You say, okay, this is a really different type of sermon. Well, it's not a sermon. We're going to do something really different this morning. Before we go any further in the service, we're going to have a baby dedication, but it's almost going to be a family dedication. The thing is, whenever I do a baby dedication, basically it's the whole service, and my sermon is a teaching on the responsibilities of the parents. I will admit to you that there are a lot of things God has shown me that I did wrong raising my children. So therefore, I admit I made mistakes. But somebody can't look at me and say, well, your mistakes justify me being allowed to make the same. No, I'm sorry. You can't use me as the standard. God's Word is the standard. And when I come to the place of understanding more about God's Word and what He has said concerning the responsibilities of mom and dad, then I pass that information on to you. Yeah, I missed it along the way, but you don't have to. You don't have to. One of the saddest things in the world is when parents use the name of Jesus to justify their error. You will stand accountable for warping your child's sense of who God is. And so I take this very seriously. In Scripture, there is nothing anywhere about baptizing children. Study the Word, Genesis to Revelation. It is not in there, anywhere. And just because you get a child wet with some water that you call holy does not mean that that child is now going to heaven. That child has to come to the place of calling upon the name of the Lord. We can't do it for them. A baby dedication is when a parent stands at the altar and the pastor is standing in proxy for God. It's symbolism. And the parent is saying, this day I make a vow before you, Almighty God. I am going to raise my children according to the standards your word has set forth. And I will remain balanced in my walk with God. I will remain balanced scripturally in my relationship with my spouse. And I submit my life to you and I declare, my wife and I may have birthed these children into the world, but they are your heritage and we're going to do everything we can to raise them up so they understand that they are to be a joint heir with Jesus as your heritage. I take this seriously. I actually had this discussion with a parent once before the baby dedication. I said, you need to understand that when you stand before the altar and do that, I expect you to do your part from this point on. And if you're not going to do your part from this point on, then when you stand up there, you're just lying to God. And so it's best we not even do this. And they said, okay. And we didn't do it. At least they were honest. And so today we're going to have a very special baby/family dedication. So I would, you know, Kevin and Eling, and would you just all come on up? They came all the way from Salem, Oregon. 20 million miles. Or thereabouts. Yeah, so it seemed. Everybody in that van. I said, in that van. Get in there. Get squish it, squish it. I want you guys just to stand right here in front of me. And yeah, Mom, come on up. Just facing me. Just line up right here facing me. Now, anybody else that has cameras, you know, you guys go ahead and take pictures. That kind of stuff doesn't bother me at all. I've never really spent too much time, with the kids and all, but, you know, we've been in email communication, and I know God is, it's just like with everybody, God's doing everything He can to work in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. And as you know, we all have to be submitted to that work that He wants to do, or He can't do that work. Now, last night, yesterday I was asked, you know, would you be willing to do this? And because they live so far away, the approach is a little bit different than what I would normally take. And so I asked them last night, would you give me your word that you will listen to three specific teaching series of mine when this series is over, or when the conference is over. And for those of you who'd like to know, those teaching series are Love is the Goal, When Jesus is Lord, and The Sacred Nature of Marriage. Those are the three that I asked them to listen to, and they both agreed, because if they had said, well, no, we won't do that, then we wouldn't be having this baby dedication. But again, I want to publicly ask you, do you give me your word that you will listen to those teaching series when you get back home when the conference is over? So you're witnesses, and so is God, that they have agreed that there will be a test. And as you're listening to those, any questions you have, you know, send me emails. And don't be surprised if I send you an email. Well, which one are you listening to? And for those who help with our duplication, I know that they have them downloaded, but I want to make sure we also give them a CD of these teachings. So anyway, you've heard what I've shared. And my expectation is that you are, both of you, as husband and wife, going to do everything that you can to fulfill Ephesians chapter 5 to each other. Because in fulfilling, and I know you need to go, you know, go back and look it up again and read it, and I'm not going to read through all of that today. But in doing that, you're going to be a godly influence on your parents, and you'll be setting a godly example for them. And then likewise, everything that you do in the home, do it all as unto the Lord. And everything that you do, make sure that there is a godly standard for everything. And remember, these children, you know, you labored to birth them into this world, and you're going to, you know, we all have challenges, folks. We know this. We know that. But at the same time, God knew these children were going to be born before they were ever born. And He has a plan for every single one of them. And I don't know what that plan is. You probably don't either, but God does. And one of the things that's important for you, and then also the role that I would play in this, is to do what we can to see to that these children come to the place of understanding what God wants them to do in life. This is so very critical. They're His heritage. We want to see them in glory with us for all eternity. Praise God. Praise God. Now, the smallest one is Aaron. Now, this one's name is Daniel, and this is Christy and Joshua. Praise God. Well, I'm so glad that you kids are here with Mom and Dad. It's just so neat because, you know, we've been in email communication now for, I don't know, like maybe 2.5, 3 years. I don't know the exact time, but it's just so neat to see them and to see the kids in person, you know. That just, praise God. And then Mom's over here. She made the trip with them. And yeah, and she's from Indonesia. I'm enjoying this week whether you are or not. Praise God. Brother Gary and Pastor Dave, would you please come up too as I pray over them? Hallelujah. The more you submit to God, the more He's going to help you, each of you, become everything that He wants you to be. He will develop the character of Christ in each of you so that you can demonstrate that character to them. But you have to submit to it like everybody else. And when you do, the process will continue. So now, Father, right now, they're standing here before you and they're giving their word that they will listen to the teaching series and apply all of the godly principles revealed from your word. And Father, they're dedicating these children unto you. And I just want to thank you, Father, for your will being fulfilled in each of these children. We say no lie of the enemy is going to be successful in their lives. We say they will not give heed to his lies and yield over to his temptations. We say, Father, in faith, that they're going to give their lives to Jesus at an early age. They'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. They'll pray in tongues. Father, they will develop the character of Christ and live for Jesus every day of their lives. And Father, I'm asking that you minister to mom and dad and to grandma. Father, I'm asking that you minister your wisdom to them and on a daily basis remind them that they stood at this altar symbolic of standing before your throne, making a commitment to live every day for you before their children so that these children would see Christ in them, the hope of glory. And I give you the praise for this, Father. I thank you for this. And Father, whatever I can do to help in this process, I commit to you that I will do it. So help me be to them what I need to be to them and their children, Father. And I praise you for this. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we call this a day of victory. And we say, your will be done in their lives as you've already planned it out in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.